Thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your prayerful and financial contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40, and as Mario said on Sunday, close to 50 years. For those that were at the dinner on Sunday, it was great to see you. Thank you for being there. Thanks for all those that bid on the silent auction items and helped raise some much-needed funds for this great Catholic radio apostolate. I can't thank you enough. So we are blessed to be joined today by a couple of guests on the last Wednesday of the month. Going back to last summer, we've been calling it the Vine Wheel Wednesday, and we're joined each week by my friend Peter DePalma. And Peter hosts a number of shows himself on a couple of different outlets, but every other month he brings a guest with him, and today he's brought one of the heavy hitters in Father B. Thomas Celso. So, Peter, it's great to have you back with us, and thank you for what you do for me in order to make these shows come off. So thanks again for being with us.
Oh, well, thank you, Ken. Thanks be to God for everything. You know, every opportunity, you know, we have an opportunity to give back to God, gratitude, thanksgiving. I know I don't do that enough, and maybe many of my brothers and sisters don't do it also, but we can learn to do that, and I think it's a good habit to be in. Yeah, you talked about the heavy hitters. Yeah, we're going to bring, you know, using a baseball analogy, we're going to bring up the cleanup batter, and the cleanup batter usually wants to clean up all the bases, you know, bring them all home and score the runs. You know, one thing I just wanted to briefly touch on, and I think Father's going to talk about this also, is, you know, God has been working for many years, 6,000 years, he tells Louisa, to work on giving this gift. And I think today we're going to find out why is he giving it to us now? Of course, when we look at the world, it looks like it's all going downward. But then God is matching that with this beautiful gift of the divine will. And Our Lady of Fatima said, you know, there's going to come a point in time when there's going to be a diabolical disorientation. And she said, you know, the good will be bad, bad will be good. Even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. We're kind of there. And, you know, and all along history, you know, St. Cyril of Jerusalem, he knew we're going to be going through some difficult times. He said, quote, flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, but never leave the church, end quote. So we have all of this working for us. And then talk about the cleanup. God gives us the cherry on top of everything he's given to us. But what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to introduce Father Celso. And I cannot go through his dossier, otherwise we would have no room in the program to speak about anything else. But I'm going to hit a couple of highlights. He's been with us before. Father was ordained in 1979, so he's been serving the faithful Catholics for over 40 years. He's a retired priest now, but never retired. In fact, he's probably busier now than he's ever been. He's been studying the divine will for over 45 years. I think it was back in the 70s, Father can correct me if I'm wrong there, where he was introduced to the divine will. I don't know anyone that's been journeying as long as Father. And again, I'm not trying to give away his age, but nobody even comes close to the amount of effort and time and depth, I think, that Father has put into this gift of living the divine will. He does have 10 live cenacles on the School of Mary each month, so if anyone wants to join us there, just send an email. I think Ken will give the email address out later. And in 1996, under the direction of then-Cardinal Ratzinger, Father was asked to go into the secret archives of the Vatican and copy all of Luis's writings, therefore helping to do what Jesus wanted, which was bring this to the world. Well, without further ado, Reverend Father B. Thomas Celso, BDV.
Okay. Well, thank you, Peter. Well, let's begin with a prayer, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's good to be here. It's always good to talk about the divine will. And Peter, you're correct. Everything seems to be falling apart. But the reason is, if we really look around and listen to what Our Lady has told us throughout the years, with Father Gobi, Our Lady said to Father Gobi in 1997, December of 1997, everything is completed, everything's done. She said to Father Gobi that the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary would begin in Mexico City. With Luis Acuña, Mr. Acuña, was, you know, he was the one who went to see Cardinal Ratzinger after the canonization the beatification of Saint Honorable de, Blessed Honorable de Francia, and he asked the cardinal. He says, "How can he become a blessed when the writings of Louisa were condemned?" And he was the one, he put the Nihil Obstat and got the imprimatur from Bishop Leo on her books, the first 19 volumes. And so Archbishop, Cardinal Ratzinger reviewed everything and said, well, we find that it was not Louisa's writings that were condemned. It was her books, but her spiritual director, Father Calvi, he would cross pages out of what Louisa wrote and said, she didn't mean this, she meant this. He would rewrite like the Hours of the Passion, the 24 Hours of the Passion, the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. These are the two books that they were criticizing. And they said, this is heresy. So it was never Louisa. And this is what Carter Ratzinger found out at the time. It was never Louisa who did anything wrong. It was her spiritual director. And when the church says, we condemn these writings, Louisa said, I condemn them too. She says, because they're not Jesus's writings. They're not his words. So it was Acuna who was the first one to receive his prayer group, all 36 volumes, after they were retrieved from the secret archives of the Vatican. So the first place, they already went through volume 1 through 19 in Italian. They learned them, they studied them for many, many years, and they were the first to receive all the writings. And so what happened was they read these writings, and the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary has begun. And it began in Mexico City, just as Our Lady told Father Gobi that would happen. Our Lady of Revelation to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. And Bruno says, the end of the world? And she says, no, the end of this era. See, we are coming to the end of the 6,000 years, as Peter said, of the reign of the prince of this world. His reign is coming to an end. The kingdom is coming. So Jesus is given to us the way and the how this is going to happen. This is what he did with Louisa. He told Louisa to go to bed and stay there. And she was there, according to Archbishop Piccheri, for 70 years in bed. And what did she do there? She read and she studied and she put into practice the truths, the lessons, the teachings that Jesus gave her. And this is the thing that now we're doing. We're reading, we're studying the Book of Heaven. We have the Book of Life in Heaven, where our names and our life is written. This is what God has called us to do while on earth. And to get to this understanding, as Jesus said to his apostles, you must be perfected as your Heavenly Father is perfect. You know, how did the saints do this? I mean, you have St. Francis, St. Clair, you have St. Dominic, you have St. Benedict, all these saints were this is how you do it. This is how I found the way to get close to God. And built religious communities where they served God, they followed God, they loved God by the way they were taught by their founder or foundress.
Just a quick interruption, Father. And also, I think it's important to recognize, too, that, and we've talked about this, all roads lead to the divine will. Yeah. You were talking about Father Gobi, and I just want to just talk about one thing really quickly, because a lot of us used to start there, and many of us don't want to leave there anymore, because, again, it's everything to them. But Father Gobi, in 1996, just like you were articulating, he said the era piece, the Eucharistic reign of Jesus, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, all of this, he says, will not be accomplished until everyone is living in the divine will. He said that in 1996 in San Marino, and just so happens that San Marino is a place where the second of Mother Gabriel's sisters are residing. So again, everything is there. Now it's becoming, we're becoming aware of it. Again, I was in 20 years of Mary moving a priest. I never read that, and that's one of his biggest speeches ever. So again, just to your point, everything is pointing to the divine will when our eyes are opened.
And that's what's coming. The kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven. We will all, everyone, Jesus says, will begin to live the universal life. all of humanity, the life that God breathed into Adam, Jesus tells Louisa, is the universal life, the Catholic life. So when 4,000 years after Adam fell, Jesus and Mary are on earth, and Our Lady gives her fiat, and it's linked with the first fiat, fiat lux, let there be light, the second fiat, fiat mihi, it's God becomes man. And so now you have the new Adam and the new Eve, Jesus and Mary, and it's a new, they give back to the earth the universal life, the Catholic life. So the Catholic faith begins again. And see, there's not going to be many religions in the new era. There's going to be just the one that God breathed into Adam, the universal life. And so everything does point to the divine will. Jesus shows us this very clearly, because the third era that he says that's coming, the era of sanctification, is the era of this great gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this gift of the divine will. And God's going to use his holy church to bring this about. And it might seem like it's going to be impossible, but God is, he says, I have to purify the church. I have to purify the world, because this gift is so beautiful that the world and the church is not ready for it. So what he's doing with his bride, his church, is he's ironing her dress, her wedding gown. He's cleaning it up, getting all the stains off it. He's getting her ready for this, as he says to the apostles, and he says to Louisa, this mystical marriage, this marriage, this wedding feast of heaven. And as we get ready, as we fall more in love with our God, we fall more in love with our Eucharistic Lord, spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and worshiping him. He's our King. He's our Savior. He's our God. He's our Master. He's our everything. And when we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's not a place to read a book, but it's a place to fall in love with Jesus, to look at Jesus, to see God in the monstrance, and to adore him. Again, what happens, Jesus says, when we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, our time in purgatory is shortened, our place in heaven is higher. And that's just by being in his presence. So you can imagine how much more is coming, because, you know, Jesus fed the 5,000 with the bread, the third bread, the ordinary bread, your wonder bread, and people were thrilled with that. And then what does he do at the Last Supper? He gives us his body, his blood, as in, he says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, telling us, you know, that the Holy Eucharist is the most important thing. And then finally, now Jesus says to Louisa, I'm going to give you the first bread, the bread of the divine will, the bread that Adam ate, the bread that Adam lived on, the bread that Jesus and Mary lived on, the new Adam and the new Eve. I remember when I was with Cardinal Burke, and I mentioned that to him. I said, Jesus says, Louisa said this, Louisa said to Jesus, you're going to finally tell me that the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. And Jesus says, it is. When I said that, Cardinal Burke said, give me that. I said, well, this is for you. I've made this for you, Cardinal, Your Excellency, Your Eminence. And he says, I said, but it's, how can God be greater than God? It's the effect. When you receive Holy Communion, Jesus is with us. We are in communion with God for 15 minutes. The Holy Mass ends right after receiving communion. Why? So that we can be in communion with God. The Holy Church does not want to interfere with our communion. It's a time of falling in love with God, that 15 minutes after receiving Holy Communion. We have to discipline ourselves to be in love with our God, one with him in this Holy Communion. And the whole reason, Jesus says, is to prepare my people for the first bread. This is a perennial communion with God that Adam had. Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. This is coming back to humanity. This is what sanctification is. This is what Jesus did with his Father. This is what Mary did. Mary is as she appeared to Bruno in 1947. She says, "I am the daughter of the Father. I'm the mother of the Son. I am the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit." Jesus wants us to enter into this life, not just doing the will of God like the saints, but the saints learned how to do the will of God. And that's really volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. Volume 11 through volume 19 is how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. No, excuse me. How to enter into living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the second Pentecost that's coming. The whole world is going to be set on fire with the love of God. We're going to be consumed in the love of God. And what is this fire? It's the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's the Immaculate Heart of Mary. What's coming upon the earth is the love of Jesus and Mary. And it's going to come very, very powerfully. It's going to make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket compared to this fullness that humanity is going to receive. And that's sanctification. So then finally, we can learn, that's volume now 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, Jesus says, I've never given this to the saints. He says, because they're not ready for it. They didn't have Louisa. See, who is this Louisa Picaretta? I mean, Jesus calls her the newborn. Jesus gives her in the writings 2,200 titles. He calls Louisa, you know, his little newborn. He calls Louisa the little daughter of the divine will. He says to Louisa, I went through all the universe, and I had to find a soul born of original sin that I could give this life of Jesus, this life of Mary, the new Adam and Eve, too. And he says, you were the only one, Louisa, that I could find that wanted to live in the divine will. And that's where we are today. We want this gift, but we still have to go to confession. We want this gift, but we still have our human inadequacies, our human weaknesses. But little by little, what Jesus teaches Louisa is how to get rid of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and to the point of sin. That hasn't happened yet, but that's what Jesus says is coming. This new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied about is very, very close. The evil one, his time is coming to an end. The evil one, it seems like everything's falling apart, but in reality, he's losing, and Jesus is winning. And so what God has given to us is, he says, you are going to be my army. He says, and I'm going to give you gifts that I didn't give to the saints, because all that the saints went through to this point, there was a great saint that came and fought the heresies. Each century, they fought the heresies. Today, all the heresies are coming against the church again. When you look at the internet, there's such hatred for the Catholic Church. When you look at the internet, they're blaming the Catholic Church for everything. It's all the heresies are attacking, okay? And what does Jesus do? He says to Louisa, I'm going to give you the strength and the power to get through what's coming. He says, you're going to be my army. And he says, this war that we're in is not a war of blood. It's a war of love. It's the life of Jesus. It's the life of Mary that's found in Louisa. It's a new and divine way of holiness that the saints only dreamed of. And now God is asking us to enter into this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. He wants us to, he says, this is what he says to Louisa. If you're worried, if you're fearful, if you're anxious, if you're complaining, if you're negative, if you're doubting, basically, really sinning, he says, you are anticipating hell. He says, but if you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, he says, that's my life, Jesus says to Louisa. That's my mother's life. You now are anticipating heaven. So what is Jesus trying to, you know, help us get through is no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more negativity, no more complaining. It's to begin to live the life of heaven on earth. And this is why Jesus gave to Louisa the Book of Heaven. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's coming to all the earth, and anybody can have it, Jesus says, if they want it. And as you read, as you study, nothing is the same anymore. Your love for Jesus increases. Your love for Mary increases. Your love for the Holy Church increases. What God has planned, we sit back and smile, because even if it looks impossible, that's when God works. He loves to create miracles in impossible situations. So what has he given us? He's given us the Book of Heaven. And I can guarantee you, if you're reading the Book of Heaven, nothing can compare to this. nothing can compare to this, because it's, Jesus says, it's the only book on earth that will transform a soul. That's what he tells Louisa. And then when you go back to read what the church says about Louisa, my goodness gracious, all the cardinals, all the bishops, all the priests who knew Louisa show that she was always a little daughter of the church, and she was always surrendered to the church. I have one bishop when in Corrado wouldn't let the priests go visit Louisa. As soon as he came in, he heard, oh, this Louisa is terrible. So he wouldn't let any of the priests go see Louisa, and he had a stroke. And what does he do? Within the week, he goes to see Louisa. And Louisa said to Aunt Rosaria, this is Father Bucci's aunt who was taking care of Louisa for 40 years. She said, the bishop's outside. And Aunt Rosaria goes, what? And she goes running downstairs. She comes running upstairs. Yes, the bishop's outside with two other priests. They were escorting him in because of his stroke. He gets to Louisa's room, and Louisa looks at him and says, Your Excellency, she says, would you bless me? He raises the arm that was paralyzed and blesses Louisa. And then they talked for 2 hours. And the bishop was, after that, said to all the priests, anyone and everyone who wants to go see Louisa can go see Louisa. It's Father Bucci would say, when he was the last priest that knew Louisa, he said that when you looked into her eyes, he says, you saw heaven. He says her eyes were amazing. There was such peace, there was such joy in her face. You know, even when she was going through trials and tribulations, she was always peaceful. And he witnessed her. See, Jesus told her no more eating, but the bishop told her you have to eat. So every day Aunt Rosaria would feed Louisa like three grapes and a couple of crackers. And because the bishop says you're no different than anybody else. So she would eat the crackers, she'd eat the, you know, grapes, chew them, swallow them. And then shortly after that, they would come up whole and glistening as if they were never chewed. And Father Bucci witnessed this. And he said, as a young man watching this, he said, I was astonished that this was a miracle. He saw the miracle. Aunt Rosaria gave him the plate to take up to Louisa, to give to Louisa, and he stood right there, and he watched her eat it, and he watched her come out of her mouth perfectly whole and glistening.
And Father, can you imagine the murmuring in Corrado when news got out that she's upchucking basically Whole Foods? I mean, there must have been some scandalous conversations as well. I mean, most will see it as a miracle. Others may see it in another perspective.
Well, she was obedient to Jesus, and she was obedient to the bishop.
Right.
I mean, that was obedience. The life of Louisa was obedience to Holy Church. And I'll tell you, what Jesus has told her, I mean, do you want to know what the illumination of conscience is? It's to read the Book of Heaven. What Jesus tells Louisa in the Book of Heaven, people are going to know in a more deeper, more fuller way than ever before after the illumination of conscience. See, it's our the three powers that God has given us, our intellect, memory, and will. Jesus says to Louisa, you've got to begin to see things and understand things from a divine perspective. So he wants to touch our minds so that we can begin to think from Jesus's perspective. What does this mean? And it's always positive. Jesus is always positive. He's always leading us to the Father. He wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Then our memory. A lot of people's memory, it's about complaining about what they had gone through, what their family has gone through, the trials and tribulations. Sometimes I listen to people and they go on and on and on and on and on about how sad their life is. And Jesus says to Louisa, the reason you pray the rosary is to begin to meditate on Jesus's life, the new Adam, Mary's life, the new Eve. So it's always... It's not what would Jesus do. It's how did Jesus live? How did Mary live? What did they talk about for those 30 years before Jesus ministered for those three? What were they doing? How did they pray? And that's what Jesus shows Louisa too. From volume 16 to volume 36, he shows Louisa that he's asking us to pray the rounds. He's asking us, and what does that mean? It means in the rounds of creation. Jesus shows Louisa, when God created the universe, he created the universe for Adam. Adam was in love with God. He saw, he heard, he smelled, he touched all the I love yous of creation. Every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water, Jesus teaches Louisa, is an I love you from God. And when we start praying the rounds of creation, and Thomas Aquinas says this, we see the love of God in creation. Creation speaks to us of the love of God. Creation, we hear the I love yous. We smell the I love yous. We taste the I love yous. We see the I love yous of all around us. And what happens is you begin to walk on earth as if you were in paradise. You begin to experience the I love yous of God. And so what does God do? I mean, we say to the Lord, I need some air. So what is it? He gives us the air that circles the globe. We need some water. He gives us oceans, you know, lakes filled with water. Our God is so generous. He's gratuitous. He can't stop giving. And when we start beginning to recognize the I love yous of creation, we really become filled with peace, joy, and happiness. It's a joy to just gaze at the clouds. It's a joy to see the colors and the hues, the sounds and the tones that are all around us. It's to begin to live the way God created Adam, to recognize the I love you of God, and then to give back to God what is God. So Jesus shows Louisa that this breath of God, this ruah of God that breathed into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. He says, that's what I want to give back to my children now.
Amen.
It's not just about being good and holy and saintly. I want my children to begin to live this abundant life that I had planned for mankind from the beginning. He says, but I'm going to give you more than I gave to Adam. I'm going to give you the new Adam, Jesus, the new Eve, Mary, their life reigning in you. The all the I love yous of Jesus to the Father. We breathe in this I love you, and then Jesus in us breathes out this divine I love you.
Amen. Father, just hold that thought for a moment, please. I got to throw it back to Ken. Ken, I'm laughing, but you can't see me because it's radio. The name of the program is What the World Needs Now. I think Father's articulating exactly what the world needs now.
Amen.
Ken, back to you.
Amen. And we've reached the bottom of the hour, ran past it a little bit, not a big deal, but we are going to take a short break. Our guests are Peter De Palma and Father Celso, and we'll continue our conversation on the gift of the divine will when we come back. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Maria Richardson. I've been working in church ministry for many years, and I want to take this opportunity to thank God for Kathleen McCarthy. Kathleen is an amazing woman of God who has been blessed with many gifts and talents for his service. She is so connected to Jesus, and his Holy Spirit speaks through her in so many ways, through her words, her actions, her prayers, and her wisdom. Kathleen has been an inspiration and a mentor to me personally for so long, and it is a great joy to know that In His Sign Radio has allowed her to become a blessing to so many people. She is a gift that must be shared, and I, for one, am very grateful. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston. And again, we'll praise and thank God for all of our listeners and all that you do for us here at In His Sign. Our guests today are Peter DePalma and Father Celso, and we've been talking about Luisa Picaretta, The Book of Heaven, The Gift of the Divine Will. And, you know, it's a shame we don't have multiple hours because that's kind of what it takes to fully explain. And I've even been doing this now for over a year and still feel like a little kid when it comes to this stuff. I was actually listening to an old recording of you, Peter, with Daniel O'Connor, and Daniel O'Connor saying that, you know, he's in the remedial class, not even in kindergarten yet, and sometimes I feel I'm kind of in the same boat. Before we go back to Father, just one thing I want to note is this does seem to be growing in terms of the numbers of people that are getting on board, even since I've learned about it. And I mention that because, you know, there's an upcoming retreat, and unfortunately, because of the limited capacity, we really didn't even have a chance to advertise it on this show. But, you know, in a retreat house that holds over 300 people, and they struggle to fill it, you know, on a lot of the weekends, and this retreat that's coming up at the end of June sold out in 10 days. It just shows the, first of all, the number of people that have a real interest in this, and the need for the word to spread. And I know in talking to the folks that are helping to put on this retreat in June that it certainly won't be the last. They've talked about annual, and I think it probably needs to be even more often than that so we can accommodate more people. But the hunger and thirst that people have for this is out there, and once they find out about it, they want to get involved. And I'll just end with this. If you're listening and you're interested in learning more, I'm part of a cenacle that meets every morning from 6 a.m. to 7:30. It sounds like it's not doable. I put it off doing it for a month because I didn't think it was doable. And then I found out that I could get out of bed at 5:30 every morning and be on this call from 6 to 7:30, where we read the Book of Heaven. If you have any interest whatsoever, you can reach out to me at my email address. It's ken@inhissign.com. That's Ken, K-E-N, at inhissign.com. And I'd be more than happy to give you information regarding our cenacle and how to get on Peter's email list. And the easiest way to do that would be to send an email to maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org. That's maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org. Back to you, Peter.
Well, thank you, Ken. Again, that retreat is exciting, and Father Celso will actually be there in person, not just voice, but body as well. Father, I want to send it back to you. I apologize I had to interrupt you. I asked you to hold the thought. I hope you did, because it was great.
Okay. Sorry. No problem. Okay, I just want to read. This is what Jesus himself says about these writings. In volume 16, on February 10th, 1924, Jesus says, "In my all-seeingness, I see that these writings will be for my church like a new sun that shall rise in her midst. Drawn by its blazing light, souls shall apply themselves in order to be transformed into this light and become spiritualized and divinized as in such a way that as the church shall be renewed, and then they shall transform the face of the earth." These writings will transform the face of the earth. This is something that is, those that read, everybody that I know that's reading, they're happy, because the solution to what is happening worldwide is what Jesus is going to do. Jesus is going to bring this about. And we have the final devotion Jesus said to St. Faustina, that I give to my church before I return, is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. That's what's coming. A new and divine way of holiness is coming for all the world, for all the church, and heaven's coming to earth. Now, what does that mean? When heaven comes to earth, may your kingdom come on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. May your kingdom come on earth, the fulfillment of the Our Father. What does Jesus say? He says, the one who has been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. And so the evil one is not going to be just banished from earth. He's going to be banished not only from our solar system, he's going to be banished from our universe. The 6,000 years that he has reigned as prince of this earth, even though we've been redeemed 2,000 years ago, now sanctification is coming. Now a new and divine way of holiness is coming to the earth, and Jesus has predestined us to live at this time, not because we're any good, but because we're the least, we're the littlest, there's more sin on earth now than during the flood. And why? Jesus says, I have to give to humanity what humanity wants. I have to give to the devil what he wants. So this war that's going to happen, that we're in, God is going to win. There's no reason to be anxious or upset or anything. Why? God is going to win. And if we are with God, it's going to be ecstasy. So as Jesus says, I see these writings. They're going to be like a new sun. Can you imagine a second sun in the sky that shall rise in our midst, and drawn by its blazing light, souls shall apply themselves in order to be transformed into this light and become spiritualized and divinized. And therefore, he says, the church will be renewed and the transformation of the face of the earth will happen. This is really, he said to Louisa, I cannot give you something that is greater than this. He says in volume 19, and since my will wants to establish its kingdom in the midst of my people, through you, Louisa, I want to deposit the celestial doctrine in my priests, who will be my new apostles, so that first I may form with them the link of connection with my holy divine will, that's Louisa, and then they may transmit it to the midst of the people. A whole new way. I was sitting 30 feet away from Pope John Paul II, Pope St. John Paul II, at the canonization of St. Anibal de Francia. And he said this. He says, we are now going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. And I said, is he reading the Book of Heaven? I mean, I was just, what's happening? I mean, he's echoing St. Anibal de Francia. Now, St. Anibal de Francia, right after that, the Holy Father said, if you want vocations, he is the one that you are to pray to. I mean, we've always had other saints to pray for vocations. But this vocation, this sanctity that's coming to the earth, I mentioned this to my bishop. I said, what Jesus says, the miracles that are going to come through his priesthood I'm forgetting again what I said because that's what I did when I was with the bishop. It's unheard of prodigies. Unheard of prodigies are coming to the earth. Humanity is going to be healed. You look at all that's happening, all the fear, all the anxiety, all the complaints, all the negativity. Jesus is going to win. The kingdom is going to be established. And if we are with him, the kingdom is ours. And that's how simple it is. He says, the reason you have priests, Louisa, is that they may be aware of the law of my divine will, so that knowing my teachings, the priests would be witnesses to the depository of the law that is so holy. And as my faithful priests, they would publish in my church the great good that I, God, want to do with the church by making my holy divine will known. See, we are living in exciting times. This is the most exciting times. He says, this is the mission of missions that I'm giving to my people. He says, I could give you no greater mission than to help bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. After 2,000 years of prayer, he says, now sanctification is going to begin. Now, nobody's there yet. We're just beginning. When you look at Louisa, when you study Louisa, when you know how she suffered, you know, in her bed. I mean, she didn't eat, drink, or sleep for 60 years. You have to remember, she was hungry. She was thirsty. She was just obeying Jesus. Jesus says to her, Louisa, you have to prove to me, all Adam had to do was not eat of the tree of the garden, and he failed. He says, you're going to prove to be more now, because you are born with original sin. And he says, and I want to give my life and my mother's life to all of humanity. Would you be willing to suffer like no other? And she had the invisible stigmata. Aunt Rosaria, Father Bucci's aunt, would occasionally see Louisa. She'd go to Louisa's room, and the whole bed would be covered with blood. The floor would be covered with blood. And Aunt Rosaria would run out, grabbing all the towels in the room next door, running in to soak up the blood. And she'd come back in, and it would be perfect, like nothing had happened. Because Louisa said to Jesus, I don't want anybody to know about this. So Jesus didn't respond back to Louisa, but nobody knew about it. Aunt Rosaria knew about it, and she went to the Vatican to talk to them about it. Padre Pio said, Louisa is like a second son that will give light and life to everyone and everything. And then he says that the world and the church, these are the words of Padre Pio, the words in the church, the world and the church will focus on Louisa Picaretta in the third millennium. Louisa Picaretta and the divine will in the third millennium. Now, if you're hunting and you've got a scope, you got 360 degrees around you, but you're focused on one thing. This prey, if you want to say, is Louisa. And we're going to recognize, everyone's going to recognize, a human born of original sin who's going to have this new and abundant way of living that the saints only dreamed of. I love the saints, but when you read the Book of Heaven, I love the mystics, the Catherine of Siena, Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross. They're beautiful. They're wonderful, but they can't compare to what Jesus tells Louisa. That's the amazing thing. As you read it, you go, I've read this before, but then you read it again. No, I've never read this before. This is so deep. Our Lord is so much in love with humanity that he's finally found a soul who can possess the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, a soul born of original sin, just like us, which means we can possess it as well. Our God is so in love with us that yes, we're in difficult times, but God is going to win. The kingdom is going to be established. The evil one's going to be banished from earth, banished from the universe. The kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven.
And Father, I think it also, we have to have, I think it requires an open mind and an open heart. I know Jesus, I don't remember the exact date, but in volume 36, Jesus says that these graces, this gift of gifts, will have two opposite effects based on the disposition of the creature. For those who are yearning for this, who are open to this, they're going to be given light and life. And for those who are looking to find fault and split hairs, they're going to be blinded and not going to be able to understand anything. So we have to be open. That doesn't mean we believe everything we see. We have to test, like St. Paul says, but we have to be open. We have to be yearning for something more, something greater, because we know it's there.
Well, it's like children. I mean, if the parents, you know, get a present for the child and wrap it up and hand it to the child, and the child opens it and goes, I don't want this. I mean, it's kind of heartbreaking for the parents. But some children, they open up, they go, yes, 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 yes. It's to recognize that God is doing this. It's not Louisa. I don't love Louisa because of Louisa. I love Louisa because Jesus is there. Mary is there. Jesus says she's the channel. She's the link between the new Adam and the new Eve and to all of humanity. And when we link ourselves to Louisa, what does that mean? Reading, studying, putting this into practice. I know somebody went through all 36 volumes and they said, well, I'm done reading. What do I do now? And I go, you've just begun. Read it again and it's brand new. Read it again and it's brand new. Read it the third, fourth, fifth time. It's brand new. Why? Jesus, the Word of God, when he says a word, it he, and then we reread that same word, he expands our capacity to understand more. And what happens is it's like new colors, it's like new sounds, it's like a new tune that you've never heard before. It's the same words, but there's something more beautiful, more it's the love of God to humanity. So it's the gift of gifts, it's the prodigy of prodigies, and the devil does not want anybody to read it. that's why it was in the secret archives of the Vatican. You know, I remember I was in the seminary at the time in 1967, I think it was. Pope Paul VI disbanded the
Forbidden Index.
Yeah, the index. Yes, and I was upset. I said, "What's he doing?" I said, "No, people are going to read all these horrible things. You know, what's he doing?" And it was in God's will. God allowed that to happen so that we could go to the writing, because that's why they put them in there. They didn't want anybody to read these. See, Archbishop Corrada, when he was a seminarian, they were studying Luisa. Father Bucci tells us, because Father Bucci was a Capuchin, he was in the same monastery as Padre Pio. He said that they're not telling anyone what book Padre Pio was reading at that time, because it's not time to know about it. He said, but at that time, in 1918, the 24 Hours of the Passion was given out, and a lot of people were reading it. As a matter of fact, St. Pius X, when St. Honorable de Francia brought the 24 Hours of the Passion to him, they were friends. St. Pius X said to, interrupted while Father Annibale de Francia was reading, he says, "We must kneel. Jesus is speaking to us." So even the saints recognize that there's something here that's very, very special. And as we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, our life changes. It really does. It's like I said, you fall more in love with Jesus, more in love with Our Lady, more in love with the dogma and doctrine of our faith, more in love with the Holy Eucharist, more in love with the sacraments and sacramentals. The war that we're in, Jesus says, is he's going to win, and it's a war of love. And that's what the divine will is. He says to Luisa, "I want you to dive into this infinite ocean of love, this great gift of the divine will, and I want you to drown. I never want you to get out of this." When we hear this at first, it's I don't want to drown. You know, I don't want to drown. But Jesus says, "You're drowning in love, and this is the life that I want you to possess. Not your life of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. I want you to enter into my image and likeness." And that's what the Book of Heaven is all about. This is the gift of gifts. It is the prodigy of prodigies. It's a new and divine way of holiness. Jesus says this in volume 19. Luisa says, "I saw the Reverend Father, who must occupy himself with the printing of the writings of the most holy divine will of God, and our Lord was with him, taking all the knowledges and all the effects and the values that Jesus manifested about the supreme will, which has changed into threads of light, and impressing them in the priest's intellect in such a way as to form a crown of light around his head. And while he was doing this, Jesus said to the priest, 'My son, the task I have given you is great. Therefore, it is necessary that I give you much light in order to make you comprehend with clarity what I have revealed to Luisa.'" You're not going to believe everything, any question that you have. This is what Jesus tells Luisa, and I found it to be true. Any question that you have is answered by Jesus in the writings. And a lot of people say, "Well, what about this? What about this?" I just keep on reading, and Jesus is going to explain it to you. "Well, what about this? I want to know now." Just keep on reading and watch what Jesus does. And it's such a joy. It's such a happiness, because it's like being with Jesus, sitting on a couch with Jesus, and Jesus talking to you, talking directly to you. And even though he's saying this to Luisa, He says it in such a manner that if you're a fireman, you understand with fireman's terms. If you're a doctor, you understand with doctor's terms. If you are a farmer, you understand with farmer's terms. Jesus is speaking to you. And as you hear him speak, I mean, not with your ears, but with your heart, your mind, your soul, you become filled with a peace and joy and happiness that you really have never experienced before. It's really something that is really true.
And, you know, Father, this additional understanding, I guess we'll call it, it's found in our catechism. It's Article 66, which I'm going to paraphrase it, please. Although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for what has already been given to be better understood, end
yeah.
quote. So that's, again, that opens the door to, again, we're not changing anything. We're like looking at a flower. I think we talked about that on one of the cynicals. We looked at the flower with the naked eye, but when you have a magnifying glass, the same flower, you can see so much more. That, the clarity of the divine will. Jesus says, I think, the volume, Father, that there are no blind souls. Every word is an increase in vision.
That's
so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we go through the volumes, I mean, everything that, and I shouldn't say everything, but everything that's going on today, you can find in there, whether it's viruses, food, whatever the issue is, because the issues we've had over time, and I find it interesting, you know, talking about Jesus talking to Louisa in that time frame, the 19-teens, right, and the threat of World War One and the things that were going on specifically in the town that Louisa lived in, and cholera and those types of things, and it's so real. It's not highfalutin and something that you can't understand. It's as you're reading it, we're talking about real events in real life that not only happened during Louisa's lifetime, but like I said, they're happening again right now. And Jesus addresses them beautifully. And to read this, just at least for me, takes away all fear, all anxiety, that we know that Jesus is in control, and regardless of what's happening right now, a greater good, a much greater good, the greatest good is going to come from it.
Oh, yeah. He's everything is planned. Planned.
Very good. We have just a couple of minutes left, Father, if you have a closing comment for us. This hour flies by.
Well, it's the main thing is, we have been predestined by, I'm not talking about predestination. We have been predestined by God to have this gift. I remember when we started, you know, we had mimeograph sheets of paper. And now we have books. If you go to luisapicaretta.me, everything that's theirs is yours. Everything that's theirs is yours. You can download everything if you wish. And as you begin to read, as you begin, see, Jesus has planned for this time. I remember a friend of mine was Okinawa, and he says, can you send me volume 36? I said, yeah, and I hit this button. I'm talking to him on the phone. And I said, you're going to get it on the count of three. I went, 1, 2, 3. He goes, ding. He goes, how'd you do that? I said, I don't know. I'm just playing a game. I said, and he got volume 36. And that's when it wasn't even out yet. And God is so good that this is the time that he's asking us to read. This is the time he's asking us to study, because he is going to lead us, guide us, and direct us through his Blessed Mother, the two of them, the new Adam and the new Eve.
Very good. Just a reminder, our guest, along with Father Celso, is Peter DePalma. If you want to get on Peter's email list, you can do so by emailing him at maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org. That's maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org. If you're interested in getting involved in the cenacle that I'm a part of, it's Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m., so you can do it before you go to work. Still make daily mass. Shoot me an email at ken@inhissign.com. That's ken@inhissign.com. Father, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. Can we get your blessing before we let you go?
Yes, yes. May the blood that flowed upon... I'm going to bless you with the relic of the true cross. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free you from your human will, that you live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of the Lisa. We pray for divine healing for all your family, friends, and neighbors, and most especially that invincible strength that Jesus says he's going to anoint his children with. We pray this in Jesus' name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thanks, Father. Look forward to talking to you again. Peter, we'll be in touch. Thanks again for all your efforts.
Thank you, Ken. Thanks be to God.
All right. For my listeners, thank you so much for whatever part of the 2 hours you were able to be with us today. I certainly appreciate it. Appreciate all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. If you missed any of today's shows, we'll be uploaded either later this evening or first thing tomorrow. And I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. It was great to have Father McKay back in the first hour today, and he and I will be back again at 4 o'clock next Wednesday. Remember that we are here Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m., 800 a.m., and over our website at inhissign.com. Until next week, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.